preached about girls gone wild. And I had promised you back in April, men, it's your turn. And I have waited till Sunday where the men would be in the pulpit, the choir stand, and on the usher board. It's your turn. If you will, open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 2. For the sake of our text and to give you perhaps an immediate understanding, I'm going to skip around in chapter 2. And hopefully you'll take the time to read chapter 2 and 3, as well as chapter 4 in its entirety. But for the sake of our text, we begin at the 12th chapter of chapter 2. 1 Samuel, 2nd chapter, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Please, verse 17. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for there's no good report that I hear you make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. Our message: bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when God comes for you? Bad boys. When God made man, the Genesis chapter 2 account says that God didn't randomly just scoop up some dust and form man. But Genesis 2:7 says that God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God had made man first on purpose, and God had given man purpose. And man was never to lose sight of his divine purpose of creation. Verse 15 of Genesis 2 says, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. So the first thing God did after giving Adam life was to give him work, a work ethic. We'll see what God has done before he gives him a wife. Three things precede the wife, and all start with a W. Work, word, and worship. And I would be a good pastor to advise all young men, before you get a wife, you make sure that you have work, the word, and worship. Amen. 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 Those are three things that you need to maintain all of your life, because every sister, she knows she needs a BMW. And that's a black man working. Amen. You know what I'm right? He gave him work. He was to till the garden. That was his labor. And he had a work ethic. And we find nowhere where he's complaining about doing it. This was his natural makeup to do. I don't think that he had to wait till the rooster crowed to get up. He just knew that was his job. The second thing God gives him in verse 16 and 17 of Genesis 2 is God tells him, you see that tree? That's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of it. And the day that you eat of it, you'll surely die. And this was the word. He gave him work. He gave him his word. This is his only law. This is his entire Bible, including the Ten Commandments and everything. God gives him but one commandment. This is God's word. Don't eat of that tree. That's all he had to keep. He didn't have to keep the Beatitudes or the commandments. Just that one. That's the word of God. And whatever you got from the word of God, you're to keep it. You're to honor it. Then in verse 18, God said, this is not good that man should live alone. And understand that man is not saying it's not good for me to be alone. This is God's idea. Man was doing all right. He didn't ask God for no wife. Nowhere do you see in Scripture was Adam saying, Lord, I'm so lonely. It was God's idea. Now, I'm building the foundation on the sermon, because if you don't see what God did in the beginning, you will not see what he's doing right now. God said it's not good. Verse 19 and 20, God had formed the beasts and fowls out of the earth, and he brought them to Adam to see what Adam would call them. This was his worship. Worship is a performance of an act of religious devotion. It's what you do that God has assigned you to do. This was his worship, but it was also his ministry, naming animals. From the antelope to the zebra, from A to Z, Adam named them all. Everything that God brought him, he named it. And the Bible says that's what it was called. Because this was his worship. That's why it's important. I see young men who come to church and they perhaps have a work ethic, perhaps they have a Bible or the Word of God, but they don't have any type of worship. I watch you when we sing, and perhaps you're not a good singer, but I never see you open your mouth. You don't move your lips. At least you could lip sync to the song if you don't know, or sing solo. Solo, can't nobody hear you, but you ought to worship God. Amen. An act of worship is doing something of a ministry for the glory of God. It's not good just to occupy a pew. If you're not in the usher board or the mail course or the security force or something, the men's ministry, the boys' ministry, you ought to be doing something for the glory of God. Adam worshiped God by assigning each animal a name. After all, he was the head of the race. He was the only of the race, but it was God's idea. Perhaps it was when he started naming the animals and seeing that for the rooster there was a hen. For the bull there was a cow. He noticed that God had male and female, had paired them. And perhaps it was then that he decided that this would be a good thing for me to help me, somebody to help me that's suitable for me. Because help meet means help suitable for him. So in verse 21 of Genesis 2, God calls him to have a deep sleep, and he operates on him, and he takes out one of his ribs. He forms and fashions the rib into a beautiful woman that caused him to say, Now this is my bone, of my flesh. This. And he named her. Why? Because God brought her to him. And everything that God had brought to him, he had named. So he names her Ish or Eve. And Ish means woman. He names her. Understand now. She was made from him. She was made for him. She was given to him. And she was named by him. He was the head of the race. God made him responsible for her welfare, her protection, her care. He was her covering. And for a while, everything was all right till Satan got busy and began to mess with her and began to have her second guess what God had said they couldn't do, and that she would be like God if she ate of the fruit. And she ate of it. Sin came into the world, not when she ate it, but when she gave it to him, because she led him. And she was never to leave him. God purposely had made man first. Now look, God could have made them both at the same time if he wanted to. Nowhere in the Bible do you find that woman was responsible for taking care of the man. There's always been the manly responsibility to cherish and to provide and to take care and protect the woman. Don't mess with that. God has designed that. And all you little weak men who got some woman taking care of you, it was never intended for her to do that. Yeah, I know she pay your cell phone and pay your car note. Lord, I'm about to get... Hey, help me. I'm trying to slow my roll. Let me drink some water. It was God's idea. Men, you need to work. You need the word. You need to worship. If there was ever a flaw, a weakness, it was that when he made woman, God found out, and perhaps he knew this already, that man would fall in love. And that would be a weakness. Man was vulnerable for the woman. He could be led and manipulated by the woman. She could either stabilize him or tear him down to the ground. And she's able to do that even right now. Let me just make this thing plain. This is kind of R-rated message today. Amen. Amen. I don't mind telling you this, that when the president of the United States sent some soldiers over there looking for weapons of mass destruction, he didn't have to look very far, because every one of you women got a weapon of mass destruction. Let me make it plain. The female genitalia throughout history has been considered a weapon of mass destruction. Men have fallen. Kingdoms have fallen. Fortified cities have fallen because of that one weapon. If you women only knew the power you had, but you should learn to use your power for good. Y'all got some men right now sitting in the corner going, blah, 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 just as crazy as they can be. Because you put something on him he could not handle. I'm going to make this thing plain, old weak man. Girl, if you knew, you better than dynamite, a hydrogen, or nuclear bomb. You better than any bullet. and you don't even know it. Men have lost their mind over that weapon of mass destruction. The songwriter said, I only meant to wet my feet, but you pulled me in, because the waters of love run deep. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Adam, you were supposed to lead her, but she led you. And sin has come into the world. Women are still trying to lead men. Many spineless, weak-kneed, and puddin'-pants men are being led by women pastors. I ain't taking nothing back this morning, you. Yeah, women, you've been more crippling than kryptonite to Superman. You have that which is magnetic mayhem. You have that which is a terrorism to testosterone. Y'all something else, amen. And men don't understand. Men just don't understand the potential that you have and the power that you have. It's called men to be bad boys. In our text today, we see Eli, the high priest of Israel, while the ark of the Lord is at Shiloh. Eli has two sons named Hophni and Phinehas. We know that Phinehas is married, because by the time you read the fourth chapter, you'll find that his wife died in childbirth, naming her son Ichabod. The glory is gone. We know very little about Hophni and his marital condition, but we find that these boys are priests of God, presiding over the offering given unto God at Shiloh. Yes, sir. But Eli's boys were bad. Yeah. The Bible says they knew not the Lord. It's not that they didn't know who God was. They were just scoundrels. And they gave God no regard. Yes, they did not regard their priestly duties, the sacerdotal duties given to the priestly family. They were just bad to the bone. That they bore a holy name and pronounced holy words, but their character was hellish. They were outwardly clothed in embellic robes, but inwardly they were cloaked with corruption and deceit. I'm telling you, they were bad. And you should know that it's possible for a man to have a pulpit, but have no calling from God. It's possible for a man to have a Bible, but no word from the Lord. And no right to preach the word. Man can sit on the pew all day long and pray and sing and still end up in hell. These young men were no good. Did not regard the sacredness of their office. Took advantage of their position. It's right there in scripture that they seduce the women. Yeah, they have sex with the women of the church. Yeah, so these were not just wicked men. These were men who were called priests. You think that ain't happening right now? Lord have mercy, there's so much corruption in the church right now. And when the people know about the corruption, they flock to those churches. They went against God. They went against Israel. They went against their father, Eli. in these chapters 2, 3, and 4, twice the high priest Eli has been warned. God sends a warning to him through another man. And then he uses the child Samuel to warn Eli as well. As Eli said, "Tell me everything the Lord has said." And Samuel did not withhold anything. For the Lord had condemned the house of Eli and said, "Hophni and Phinehas would die in the same day." And it said, "The iniquity will be upon your house because Eli did not restrain his sons." They needed some parental guidance. They need a father to step up and be a dad instead of trying to be a friend. I'm bothered by fathers who are afraid to be a father. I don't know about you, but when you're raising boys sometimes, your wife might get in the way. And sometimes you need to tell your wife to step back, because this is a man thing. Amen. Amen. I remember years ago, I used to beat Jason almost every day. And there have been a time my wife would say, "Run, Jason, run." And he'd take off running too. "Don't kill my baby." But I know he had to go to sleep. Bad boys. Bad boys. What you gonna do? Now listen, we have some word. Now and I want you to understand this. I have to take my time. This is really a 2-hour sermon. I'm gonna try to shorten it up the best I can for you. But I need to let you know that it's difficult in training boys more so than training girls. And if you mamas would just stay out of it. See, that's what's wrong with some of you mamas who daddy ain't in the home. You still need to have him responsible to your father, to an uncle, or somebody to help him, because you're not equipped. Amen. I know you come a long way, baby, and all this and that, and you liberated, and you make your own bread, buy your own clothes, but you're not equipped to raise no boy into a man. That's why he ought to be in teen council. That's why he ought to be in the young soldiers. You need to have him here. On first account, Hophni and Phinehas are rebellious against the word of God. On second count, they're lustful after women. On third count, they're greedy. For the Bible says that they stole some of the fat and the meat that belonged to God. Would reach in the flesh pots and with their 3-pronged fork, and they would take out what they wanted. And that's how Eli got so fat. It's funny how you'd be surprised. I remember a man who knew his son was selling drugs, but since his son was bringing some money into the house and every now and then bring a microwave or a tape recorder, he didn't say nothing. You're just as guilty as your son selling drugs. Eli was guilty. He did not raise his boys right. Amen. You see in the text that he told them, that's not right. That ain't what you're supposed to do. Get you a 2x4. If they didn't have 2x4s, get you a tree limb. I told y'all about Mr. 2x4, didn't I? Oh yeah. If you didn't know, go to the lumber yard. Go to Home Depot. Go to Lowe. Get you a 2x4. About 42 inches long. You need about 8 inches. Tell them to make a little handle on it for you. If you want to soften the blow, wrap it with a little, you know, cotton or some, you know, a sheet or something, you know. Get some duct tape. That'll hold it on there. Stand behind the bedroom door. Because he's going to bed. Where'd he go home? Swing. Remember I told you, swing thusly? Between the ankle and the knee. Swing with enough force not to break his leg, enough to knock him down, and he will fall if you swing thusly. You have now his undivided attention. Spare not your soul for his crying. He will be crying if you hit him right. I don't care how old he is, how big he is, hit him right. He's going to go down. Stand up over him and say the same words that my mama said to me. I brought you into this world. What is it? I'll take you out. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 23:13-14. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. If you ain't got a rod, get you a 2x4. You see, in Israel, you need to write some of your scripture down or get the tape. They didn't have a problem with juvenile delinquency like we have nowadays. Because Deuteronomy 21:18, this is what it said. This is very clear. This is what it said. Deuteronomy 21:18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall the father and mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of the place. Now, it goes on to say that the elders will stone them till they die. Yeah, you lost little Billy, but everybody else heard about it and straightened up. We don't even want to talk about time out for you. Time out, what? Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, or careful to discipline him. Proverbs 19:18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. You think because he whimper and cry, you're going to stop beating him? Beat him! This is good advice from Pastor Twyman. How to maintain your household. I know they call it corporal punishment, but it sure helped me. My mother and father wasn't trying to be my friends. As a matter of fact, I was pretty persuaded they were trying to kill me. It wasn't until I was grown that I really seen that they loved me and they were trying to discipline me to get me straight. Amen. And following that, when I had my son, I did the same thing. But one of the things I did and that my father had done to me, and I passed it on to my son, and I'm hoping that when he has sons, he'll pass it on to him, is he taught me to have a work ethic. I'm not afraid to work with my hands. I'm not afraid of labor. You know, the biggest problem I'm seeing with black men today as we stand here is men have lost their ability to survive. There was a time, just 20, 30 years ago, black man, if he had to have four jobs, he would have four jobs because he's going to take care of his family. He's going to take care of his children and all of his responsibilities. If he had to shine shoes and wash cars and cut grass, whatever he had to do, that's what he did. Now black men want somebody to give them a job, and they don't even want to work. They just want a paycheck. They on their job with a cell phone. That ain't what that man told you to do. Work ethic is gone. No survival skills. The time of going in the factory and getting a good wage is over. Learn your trade. Learn carpentry. Learn to lay bricks. Put up drywall. One thing I love about the Mexican people, they got a work ethic. Oh, if you got a Mexican gardener, them Mexicans come on my house and cut my grass in 15 minutes. That Negro took 2 hours to cut it. And it cut good, too. I'm just telling the truth. Work ethic. They don't mind sweating, getting their hands dirty. They don't mind working. Sun up, sun down. They work. The problem with our young black men, they think they're too pretty. And the problem is you women made them think that. First of all, that's why they're wearing earrings. Because you told them he looked pretty with the earring. Now, he looked like a fool to me, but you made him think he looked pretty. And not only did he have one, he had to go get another one. You know how stupid men are? You tell them, ooh, that you look sexy in that shirt. That fool will wear that shirt forever. It'll be funky. Let me put on my sexy shirt. Well, you ought to wash it sometime. Men. How long will you be a boy? How long will you anticipate being a bad boy? How long will you be spineless? When will you grow up and take on responsibility? She told you she was cute because you didn't know they lowered the standard of what cute was. You say she trapped you, but you got what you want because you have this thing called sexual prowess. You think that the more women you conquer, but you can't conquer no woman. That weapon of mass destruction has messed up more people. You can't conquer that. And then she could have took some birth control. She could have. They even got a pill you can take the day later. She wanted to have your baby. She wanted to get you in the bed because she thought you would wear it, but you wouldn't wear it when she got you in the bed. And all it was a midnight booty call. That's all it was. I told you this was an R-rated sermon. This is a sexual time. Look at it. Look at it. Watch the TV commercials. Talking about ED, I thought ED was Ed. Erectile dysfunction. They got Viagra. Cialis. Talking about if the erection lasts longer than 4 hours, see a doctor. Man, I ain't seeing no doctor. They gonna get him another woman, but you ain't gonna see no doctor. I tell you that right now. Ain't that a mess? Man can't cure the common cold, but he can send all your blood down to one part of your body. He can't cure cancer. He can't cure AIDS, but he came up with Viagra, and then they got a commercial singing, Viva Viagra. Ain't that a mess? Bad boys, what you gonna do when God come for you? Bad boys, grow up. Be a man. You see, the problem with these boys, well, not only were they greedy, not only were they scandalous, using the priesthood to attract the women of the tabernacle. One of them we know was married. And whether it's fornication or adultery, it's still a sin. See, often we fail to realize that we look down upon men on the down low and men who are bisexual and men who are homosexual and not understanding that any type of sexual sin is still sexual sin. Whether it's two men, a man and a woman, a man and a monkey, whatever, it's still sin. Men are sexual predators. You'll have sex with a snake if you hold the snake head. Now I'm not talking just about all men, but I'm talking about these unconverted men. But we be careful of the ones in the church. These boys was in the church. They had on their sacred robes, but still running after the women. We need to throw some light on this because we're just outrageously scandalous when it comes to sex. I've been reading a lot of Proverbs lately. And when I found some scriptures that says in Proverbs 5:3 about spicy things. You know, I've heard men say that variety is a spice of life. But don't you know that there are some things that come from spice? Amen. Some of you know that if you put too much hot sauce on something, you'll know about it tomorrow. There's side effects to spicy things. And men, you don't need spice, you need seasoning. And see, a lot of you are looking and running after women when you already got a wife. I don't know what it is about strange women that men run after. I realize that men sometimes, we're attracted. We can't help be attracted by the opposite sex. And I ain't mad at you because I'm a man too. And I'd rather have you licking your lips after a woman than licking your lips after a man. Hello. Speaking of lips, Proverbs 5:3, for the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But verse 5 of Proverbs 5 says, her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. The Bible says in Proverbs, even men, be satisfied with your wife. If you got a wife, be satisfied. This is what it says, Proverbs 5:15. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running water out of thine own well. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and a pleasant roe, which means loving doe or graceful deer. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times. It's right there. I didn't make it up. And be thou ravished always with her love. Now this is how TLC said it. Back in the day, back in the 1990s, they recorded a song, TLC, and the single was "Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls." They basically were saying the same thing. They said, "Don't go chasing waterfalls. Please stick to the rivers and lakes that you used to. I know you want to have it your way or nothing at all, but I think you're moving too fast." Did I take some of y'all back? Yeah, that did. Stick to the rivers and lakes that you used to. Quit drowning in the sea of love.
Come on, sir.
Enjoy the wife of your youth. Quit chasing waterfalls. It says here in verse 20, and wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself and shall be holden with the course of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of folly he shall go astray. Bad boys. Bad boys. What you gonna do when the Lord comes for you? Men, we're living in dangerous times. And you fathers are charged with the word of God. Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is the father's responsibility to teach his sons the word of God. Keep your thing in your pants. Your brain is here, not down here. When you start thinking with that thing in your drawers, you're going to mess up every time. Can I make it plain? Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You teenagers, listen to me. You obey your parents in all things. I don't care what your running buddies say, your road dog. I don't care what they say. Most of them lying anyway, talking about what they did with who. They ain't did nothing. Train up the child. Proverbs 22:6, in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Christian men who are black, we're in a danger zone. Statistics show that one out of every 32 black men are in jail, on probation, or parole. One out of every 32. Black men outnumber white 5-1 in drug arrests. Black men are more likely to drop out of school than white men. Black men are 9 times more likely to die of homicide than white men. We're endangered, I tell you. Fathers need to give their sons tools instead of toys. Give them a rake. Give them a broom. Give them a hammer. You give them everything else. Give them books instead of basketballs. They can rap, but they can't read. They can rhyme, but cannot reason. They can make a free throw shot, but don't know how to make their own bed. Fathers need to give their sons grammar instead of games. Boys can't articulate a sentence with a subject and a predicate. That's why they're always saying, "You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?" They don't know what they're saying. They just want to know if you know. Give them grammar instead of games. You gave them Xbox. You gave them Nintendo. You gave them Game Boy. You gave them PlayStation. And some of them went out and got Grand Theft Auto 4. And they ain't going to be nothing but a thug. Instead of teaching them thugology, you need to teach them theology. You give them iPods and 3 MP players. Listen to hip-hop, vulgar words, hostile words, and you wondering what's wrong with him. He got all this stuff filtering in his head. He does not realize that all these are demonic things Satan is putting in his head and in their atmosphere. You can't hear these filthy words, but they hear them. Satan is trying to destroy the family. He's doing it one child at a time. Bad boys, when you going to grow up and be men, take on responsibilities? When will you learn to respect women? When will you learn that this could be somebody's mama? This is somebody's sister, perhaps. This is somebody's daughter. Respect her like you would respect your own mother, your own sister, your own daughter. And that might be where lies the problem. Maybe you don't respect your mama, your sister, or your daughter. Here's the difference between the unregenerated mind and the mind that has been regenerated by the power of the Holy Ghost. The unregenerated mind has no salvation and has no values. The regenerated mind has salvation and biblical values that controls the conduct and character of the individual. Every man, every real man needs Jesus Christ in his life to be a man. Being in the church is not enough. Eli's sons was in the church. And they were corrupt and bad. Being in the school won't make you educated. Sitting out in the garage is not going to make you into a car. You need to be born again when you come into God's house. Bad boys. Bad boys. What you going to do? Because God is coming for you. We're living in some crucial times. When you read the text in its entirety, you will find that God did kill those two boys for their wickedness. God took their lives and even took one of their wives. Eli, when he heard the news that the Ark of the Covenant had been taken by the Philistines, that his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, had died, being old and very fat, he fell over backwards, broke his neck, and died. Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do when they come for you? You see, we fail to realize that God sees everything we do. Hears everything we say. The conclusion of the whole matter is that God knows how weak men are for women. He sees how vulnerable we really are. But in Christ, you'll get your strength. You need help by the power of the Holy Ghost. You know you have a weakness, but God can be your strength. Any man who said he's not weak for women is either crazy or homosexual. Every man has some weakness for women. But you need to let the Holy Ghost control you. Do you hear what I'm saying? You see, did you hear what I'm saying? Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now Jesus was referencing something that went on in the book of Numbers 21. Where Moses had made a serpent of brass and put it up on a pole. And all of the children of Israel who had been bitten by a snake, all of the young men and young women, boys and girls, had been bitten by a snake. The Bible says that if anyone looked at the serpent upon the pole, they could look and live. Now the only thing that was special about that serpent that was upon the pole, it was that it was what God had provided. Yes, it was. God had provided a way out of temptation. God had provided a way out of the venomous bite of a snake. There was nothing magical in healing the snake wound, but if you looked, you could live. It was the only antidote that God had given them. And so the truth lied in the fact that after you were bitten, if you looked, you could live. And so Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up that serpent, Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. All you got to do is look and live. Man, I know you don't have no power. I know you weak and weak-kneed. But if you look, you can live. If you look to Jesus for your help, for your strength, for your character. If you look to Jesus for his word, for his comfort, for his protection. If you look to Jesus for everything, you can be a man among men. You can go from a bad boy to a good man, a real man in Jesus Christ. All you got to do is look and live. It's an eye of faith. I know you're not there. I know you can't see him, but by faith, believe he died on that cross for your sins and mine. Look to him. The only antidote for all of your sin. The only antidote that will rid this poisonous stake of temptation that seems to have you bound. Look to Jesus. I tell you, he died on the cross, was buried, and rose the third day with all power in his hand. Time is winding down. Oh, yes, it is. I read over in Revelation. I've been to the end of the book. There will come a time, the Bible says, that the kings of the earth and great men and rich men and the chief captains and mighty men and every bond man and every free man will hide themselves in dens and the rocks of the mountains. They will say, rocks fall on us and hide us from the one that sit on the throne. Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. For that great day is coming, and who will be able to stand? Bad boys, what you gonna do when it comes for you? Bad boys, you will run to the rocks, try to hide your face. Rocks will cry out, no hiding place. What you gonna do when Jesus comes? He's coming like a thief in the night. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Stand to your feet. The door of the church is open.